I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
DHS Secretary Kristi Noem must resign or face impeachment.
During a town hall in Minneapolis, Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is attacked by a man who sprayed a foul-smelling substance at her. The man was arrested, and Omar insisted on continuing the event. We'll hear the Congress member in her own words and get response from her colleague, Democratic Congresswoman Delia Ramirez, who's leading the push to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
Bottom line, you lie with impunity. You reject checks and balances, and you ignore Congress and the courts. Your options are limited. Either you're going to resign, Trump's going to fire you, or you will be impeached.
But first, we look at ICE's plans for the $100 million wartime recruitment campaign to hire thousands of more agents by recruiting gun rights supporters and military enthusiasts. Plus, we talked to a former senior Border Patrol agent who now speaks out against the agency's abuses.
Americans need to be concerned about the U.S. Border Patrol being involved in this crackdown because they are some of the least accountable agents in the federal immigration enforcement agencies, and they have run secret and illegal cover-up teams since 1987, and they continue today under CBP.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Democratic Congressmember Ilhan Omar was attacked at a town hall in Minneapolis Tuesday night. A man who'd been sitting in the front row rushed at Congressmember Omar and sprayed her with a strong-smelling liquid. This is Congressmember Omar just before she was attacked.
And DHS Secretary Kristi Noem must resign or face impeachment.
Congressmember Omar insisted she continue with the town hall after the attack. Authorities arrested the attacker, 55-year-old Anthony Kazmierczak. We'll play excerpts from the town hall later in the show. Just hours before Omar was assaulted, President Trump openly mocked the congressmember during a rally in Iowa.
They have to show that they can love our country. They have to be proud. Not like Ilhan Omar. Did you see that wise guy? You know, she's always talking about the Constitution, you know, provides me with the following. You know, the Constitution, she comes from a country that's a disaster.
The attack on Omar comes just days after Democratic Congressmember Maxwell Frost was assaulted at the Sundance Film Festival by a man who was heard making racial slurs. A review by U.S. Customs and Border Protection's Internal Watchdog Office directly contradicts the Trump administration's claims about the fatal shooting of 37-year-old Alex Preti. The CBP's report confirms two federal immigration agents fatally shot Preti as they wrestled him to the ground and that he did not take out his gun. That's despite claims by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, who said Preti had been, quote, brandishing a weapon. Now sources tell CNN that authorities had details on Preti a week before he was fatally shot. In a separate encounter, Preti had suffered a broken rib when a group of federal officers tackled him while he was trying to protect protesters from being arrested. It comes as House Democratic leaders are threatening to launch impeachment proceedings if Noam is not fired. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries and Congressmembers Catherine Clark and Pete Aguilar said in a statement, quote, "We can do this the easy way or the hard way," unquote. President Trump's rejected calls to fire Noam, saying she's doing a, quote, "very good job," unquote. Meanwhile, a federal judge in Minnesota ordered the head of ICE, Todd Lyons, to appear in court on Friday and explain why he should not be held in contempt for violating court orders about the immigration crackdown. The judge, Patrick Schlitz, who was appointed by President George W. Bush, said Lyons must appear in court because, quote, "the extent of ICE's violation of court orders is likewise extraordinary," unquote. It comes as dozens of cities filed an amicus brief in federal court to stop the Trump administration's surge of ICE agents into Minneapolis. Meanwhile, FBI Director Kash Patel announced a criminal probe into group chats used by Minneapolis protesters on the Signal messaging app. In Minneapolis, local businesses on the block where Preti was shot and killed by federal agents have opened their doors to protesters and are continuing to operate donation hubs for the community.
Because people are willing to come spend their hard-earned money with me, the least I can do is open up my doors when there's gas outside. Least I can do is let my bathrooms be public. Least I can do is have water up here ready for y'all. So if you need solids, if you need heat, if you need electricity, our job as business, our job as small business owners is to embrace the community that's coming to spend money with you under all circumstances.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from deporting 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos and his father, Adrian Conejo. Liam was detained with his father in Minnesota after the little boy came home from preschool last week. Images of Liam went viral after he was picked up by federal agents while still wearing his Spider-Man backpack and a blue hat with bunny ears. Liam and his father are currently detained at ICE's South Texas Family Residential Center in Dilley, which has faced mounting reports of worsening conditions for immigrant families jailed there. Liam's father has filed a lawsuit against Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi, and other Trump officials. Liam and his father had come to the U.S. in 2024 from Ecuador seeking asylum. In related news, a 5-year-old girl and U.S. citizen was deported to Honduras with her mother earlier this month. Genesis Esther Gutierrez Castellanos lived in Austin, Texas with her mom and family where she was in kindergarten. Genesis and her mother were reportedly detained in a hotel 80 miles from their home for nearly a week without access to a lawyer or a hearing before a judge prior to their deportation, with their family not knowing their whereabouts for days. The mother, Karen, came to the United States in 2018. She'd applied for protections in the U.S. as a survivor of domestic violence. Her daughter, Genesis, was born here in the United States. Here in New York, dozens of demonstrators were arrested in Manhattan Tuesday after they occupied the lobby of a Hilton hotel where federal immigration agents are believed to be staying. More than 100 people rushed into the hotel chanting anti-ICE slogans. New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani praised the protesters. In a statement, Mamdani's spokesperson said, quote, "ICE is a rogue agency that has repeatedly carried out cruel, inhumane, and lawless raids and arrests of American citizens." Democracy Now! Is at the protest.
My name is Reverend Micah Busey. I'm the senior minister at Judson Memorial Church in Greenwich Village. We are here to say no more deportations, no more murders, abolish ICE. The bottom line is abolish ICE. And from there, we are moving toward collective liberation. I'm banking on being arrested because it's time that every citizen risks arrest. Everyone who is able to be out here doing this, we all have our part to play. Not everyone can do what I'm doing today.
ICE agents will join the U.S. delegation to the Winter Olympics in Italy next month. Vice President J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio are expected to attend the start of the Games. Milan's mayor, Giuseppe Sala, said ICE will not be welcome in his city, telling an Italian radio station, quote, "This is a militia that kills, a militia that enters into the homes of people, signing their own permission slips," unquote. This is Pier Francesco Maggiorino, the head of Italy's center-left opposition party.
I believe this is truly very bad news. We don't want Trump's thuggish squad here. People who kill civilian citizens. We don't need them. I don't understand what they're even doing here. And so we think that the government and all institutions together should say, we don't want you.
The Trump administration is reportedly planning to establish a permanent CIA presence on the ground in Venezuela following the abduction of President Nicolas Maduro and his wife. That's according to CNN, which spoke to several anonymous sources that outlined talks between the State Department and the CIA have weighed short and long-term schemes to foster U.S. influence in Venezuela. One source told CNN, quote, "State plants the flag, but CIA is really the influence," unquote. CIA officers were in Venezuela in the months leading up to the U.S. military strike targeting Maduro and his wife. The agency covertly installed a small team inside Venezuela in August to surveil Maduro, providing key intelligence for the attack on Caracas earlier this month. One CIA source reportedly operated within the Maduro government. In related news, the families of two men from Trinidad killed in an October U.S. missile strike in the Caribbean are suing the Trump administration for wrongful death and extrajudicial killing. Chad Joseph, who is 26, and 41-year-old Rishi Samaru were killed in one of the 36 strikes the U.S. government has launched against boats in the Caribbean and Pacific Ocean since September. At least 125 people have been killed in these strikes. President Trump's continuing his threats against Cuba, saying Tuesday the island nation has not received any more oil or money from Venezuela since the U.S. abducted the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro. The aid was a lifeline for Cuba, which has been devastated by decades of harsh U.S. economic sanctions. This comes as Politico reports Trump's considering imposing a total blockade on all oil imports to Cuba. These were Trump's remarks Tuesday.
Cuba will be failing pretty soon. Cuba is really a nation that's very close to failing. You know, they got their money from Venezuela. They got the oil from Venezuela. They're not getting that anymore.
This comes as Mexico's canceled its oil shipments to Cuba. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum confirmed the move on Tuesday, saying the decision was not made in response to U.S. pressure.
It is a sovereign decision, and Pemex makes its choice. And also, as we have said, Mexico's decision to sell or give oil to Cuba for humanitarian reasons has to do with a sovereign decision that has been in place for many years. It is not recent.
The Justice Department says they'll finish reviewing and publishing files on the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein soon, but did not provide a specific timeline. The DOJ has released over 100,000 pages so far, less than 1% of the Epstein files. And South Carolina's reported nearly 800 measles cases, the largest outbreak in the United States since the disease was declared eliminated nearly two decades ago. The state's health department said at least 18 people have been hospitalized for complications. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has upended immunization policies in the U.S. as he and his allies have spread misinformation about vaccines. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As outrage grows across the United States over the Trump administration's deadly immigration crackdown in Minnesota, we begin today's show looking at the recruiting practices of ICE, that's Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The Washington Post recently reported on an internal strategy document shared among immigration officials that details plans to spend $100 million over a one-year period to recruit gun rights supporters and military enthusiasts through online influencers and geo-targeted ads. The article in the Post is headlined, ICE Plans $100 Million Wartime Recruitment Push Targeting Gun Shows Military Fans for Hires. We're joined now from Tampa, Florida, by one of the reporters who broke the story. Drew Harwell is a technology reporter with The Washington Post. Drew, welcome to Democracy Now! Explain exactly what you found, who exactly is being targeted with this massive influx of money.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. This is called a surge hiring marketing strategy document. It goes into extraordinary detail into the methods they want to use to reach more than, 14,000 new employees for ICE to basically double the deportation strike force that they have on the street. How they want to reach those people is through social media marketing, real world marketing, right? Billboards and bus stops, kind of the classic traditional styles of advertising, but also through these unusually precise techniques that would include geo-targeting. So they would basically create a fence around gun shows, UFC fights, NASCAR races, military bases, to really try to identify who are these people who would be interested in becoming new soldiers for their fight against immigration.
If you can talk about the language and imagery of these recruitment ads, most of them seem to rely on, to say the least, jingoistic and xenophobic wartime rhetoric and symbolism, where joining ICE is seen as performing a, quote, sacred duty of, quote, defending the homeland and expelling foreign invaders because America needs you. And then there's the overt references to white supremacist messaging less than 2 days after ICE agent Jonathan Ross fatally shot Renee Good in Minneapolis. Multiple social media accounts run by the Department of Homeland Security posted a recruitment ad for ICE captioned, "We'll have our home again," with the image of a man in a cowboy hat riding a horse in a snowy field. The caption referencing the title of a white nationalist song that's popular in neo-Nazi circles. Last year, an ICE recruitment post on Homeland Security's X account showed an image of Uncle Sam at a crossroads with signs pointing to cultural decline, homeland, and invasion. The post was captioned, "Which way, American man?" which echoes the title of a white supremacist neo-Nazi book, "Which Way, Western Man?" more recently adopted as a popular far-right meme. Can you talk more about these white supremacist messaging and government posts?
Yeah. If there was one slogan that seemed to have some connection to neo-Nazi spaces, it might be a coincidence. But we've seen a pattern of these kinds of, songs that were popular among these very far right circles, messages, even kind of visual styles that you would see in memes that, once were kind of 4chan far right extremist memes that are now being, trafficked by the government. So, DHS has defended themselves as saying, "You guys are grasping at straws. This is all a coincidence." But I think, there's a pattern there that people are really seeing. And, the broader message in all their advertising is, as you said, they are characterizing this as a war against foreign invaders. They are not subtle about it, right? They're really using militaristic language to frame this as a battle of good versus evil. White, classic, traditional Americans defending the homeland against foreign invaders. And so you've seen in their marketing, it really is, you have a lot of kind of army style messaging where it's big guys with guns on the border, repelling the hordes. Or you have this more classical Americana, almost wartime propaganda from World War One style of advertising where, it's these kind of classic white Americans who are defending the West, moving out into the frontier, kind of fighting the horde. So this style of marketing is very new, even for ICE. ICE has not really gone to this level of aggressive, jingoistic messaging, but they're spending a lot of money on it. So you're just seeing it everywhere on social media now. And the question is, who are they trying to attract? Why are they using this messaging? Are they going for people who are really trying to crack some skulls and defend this, what they think is the American way of life? Is that kind of why they're framing it this way?
Drew, Congressmember Raskin recently wrote to Homeland Security Secretary Noem for ICE recruiting records asking, How many pardoned January 6th insurrectionists have been hired by your respective departments? You know anything about this, Drew?
I've seen that letter, and this has been a question, you know, because part of what they're trying to do is attract so many people. This is a department that has tried to backfill attrition over the years, but they've never tried to get thousands of people all at once to go out on the street. So they're changing their standards for who they feel is qualified to come in. And so the question is, are they changing the standards to such a degree that they're allowing in people who are untrained? This is something I hear from people inside ICE and DHS all the time. We're bringing in people who are untrained, who don't have law enforcement background, or mistrained, or just want a badge and a gun, right? Just want to go out on the street and rough people up. And so there's a question of, are these people that you're getting in hardcore partisans who are in it for the glory of combat, or are these people who are going to come in and really follow the law and try to be nuanced and niche about it, and, or do they just want to crash?
It's really interesting about the cutting back of training. Senator John Warner recently said that the cutting back of training was to 47 days, which is way less than it used to be. And he was saying that it's 47 for the 47th president, Donald Trump. But if you can talk about the benefits that ICE is offering recruits and the ways ICE is sweetening the deal. This is a like 5-second snippet from an ICE ad on Google that promises a bonus of up to $50,000 and student loan forgiveness.
Join ICE with bonuses up to $50,000 and generous benefits.
Drew Harwell, can you comment on this?
It's a lot of money, and it's attracting people, right? I mean, some of these deportation officer jobs start at $50,000 salaries. So they're really trying to throw money at people to get them in the door. But also, you know, the people who are coming in may not be qualified to be in the door, right? And, you know, if you're giving them less training, 47 days of training, just because it's an arbitrary number that you like because of the president, are you removing that, you know, standard that's going to make them quality recruits just to satisfy this other metric?
Now, I know you have to go, and so I want to ask you a question you can answer in 15 seconds on a slightly different issue. And it's Nikema Levy-Armstrong. You're the tech reporter for The Washington Post. What the Department of Homeland Security put out, that picture where they changed her image as she was being arrested. She was just walking. Instead, they showed her crying.
Yeah, they digitally altered it, right? And they put it out there without any kind of disclosure to demean her, basically, to make her look like, you know, in the real picture, she's standing tall, she's walking, and in the fake photo, she's just sobbing, tears streaming down her face. And, you know, it's a lie, basically. They are lying to Americans about what they're capturing, and they're doing it in a subtle way. You know, we've seen the memes from the White House that have been very bombastic. Trump in the fighter jet dumping poop on protesters. They're satirical, a little disturbing, but they're still, you know, basically a joke. This was, I think, even more disturbing based on the people I talked to because it was so subtle. And if you were to only see it from the White House account, which, again, is a traditionally government account that requires us to trust them, asks us to trust them, you're going to get a completely false impression of the reality. So I think it's scary because it shows that if the White House wants to target you and manipulate your image, they'll do it. They don't seem to have any qualms about doing that. So I think that presages some scary things for the future.
Drew Harwell, I want to thank you so much for taking this time. Technology reporter for The Washington Post, joining us from Tampa, Florida. Coming up, we'll hear excerpts from Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's town hall last night, where she was attacked by a man who sprayed her with an unknown substance from a syringe. We'll speak to Congressmember Delia Ramirez. Stay with us.
Nothing to lose, no one can fit in these shoes, and I've got nothing to prove, I just do what I do and I do it. See the blood, sweat and tears, I've been fighting for years, I've been fighting for years and I, oh,
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Democratic Congressmember Ilhan Omar was attacked at a town hall meeting in Minneapolis Tuesday night. She'd organized the meeting to respond to President Trump's deadly militarized immigration crackdown in Minnesota. A man who'd been sitting in the front row at the town hall rushed at Omar and sprayed her with a strong-smelling liquid from a syringe.
DHS Secretary Kristi Noem must resign or face impeachment.
Authorities arrested the attacker, 55-year-old Anthony Kaczmierczyk. Congressmember Omar insisted on continuing with the town hall after the attack. These are some of the excerpts from the town hall, starting before the attack, then moving into it and playing what happened after.
In the Fifth, we oftentimes talk about how important it is for us to go govern together, and I am really delighted for the showing. The level of violence, federal overreach, lawlessness carried out in the name of immigration enforcement is unprecedented. U.S. citizens are being assaulted and detained. Minnesotans are expected to carry their citizenship papers. People are dying in ICE custody. Trump and his paramilitary immigration enforcement will not get away with their unlawful attacks on our state. The Constitution is on our side, and we will fight every single day to defend it. As it's been said, real justice and accountability starts with full transparent investigation and legal action against ICE, followed by the abolishment of the agency. Renee Good should be alive. Alex Preddy should still be alive. Please, let's take a moment of silence for Alex and Renee. ICE cannot be reformed. It cannot be rehabilitated. We must abolish ICE for good. And DHS Secretary Kristi Noem must resign or face impeachment. I don't know. We're gonna keep talking. And like I said, if she does not resign, we are going to introduce articles of impeachment. The children that are afraid to go to schools, the mothers and fathers that are afraid to drop them off, you know, the elderly shop owners at Caramel Mall, they're all citizens. But they don't want the trauma of seeing men with heavy machine guns, because that is who they escaped to come to the United States. They don't want to go through a checkpoint because that is what they escaped to come to the United States. They don't want a gun drawn on them asking for their identification because that's what they escaped. It's truly heartbreaking, this moment we find ourselves in. But if we know anything about U.S. history, is that everything is temporary. And we will find our way out of this. So thank you all.